You'll find the reading tonight in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19. I do want to express my gratitude for the privilege to be a part of this service tonight. It has been a while since I've been able to be here, but I have many precious memories of this place, of what God has done in the past, but of course, He's still working tonight, and I'm grateful that God will have those who will be faithful to Him, regardless of the day or whichever generation it may be. David served God well in his own generation, and it is our responsibility to do that in our own generation. I appreciate this camp meeting, and it has been an encouragement to the churches through the years. But to tell you the truth, if the churches go dead, the camp meet would go dead. But I appreciate your faithfulness and your zeal yet for God. I do appreciate Brother Clifford. As he said, we've known each other for many, many, many years. And I appreciate Brother Clifford, Miss Linda, and his family and his labors for God as well. Good to see many of these dear preachers here in the service this evening. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the blood, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, I bow in your presence tonight, asking you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, every lust, every action, every attitude, everything and anything about me that's unchristlike. I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Lord, thou said that you cannot and will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And I pray that nothing shall be between my soul and thee. Thank you for this day, for the blessings, the mercies of it, for the Lord's day. Thank you for this meeting tonight, this camp meeting. Thank you for what this place has meant to so many people down through all these years. Thank you for the faithfulness of these churches to stand by it and to stay with it. I pray for Brother Clifford and these dear men of God as they direct and lead this meeting. I pray that every financial need should be met. Every spiritual need will be met. Thank you for the wonderful singing that's lifted up our hearts in worship and praise to God. I pray now, Lord, that you would be pleased to touch thy servant. I pray for that special anointing. Illuminate my mind and loose my tongue, and may the gospel go forth not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. I pray you'll encourage your church, revive thy church. Should there be those among us that are strangers to your grace, may this be the hour of salvation. Lord, whatever divine distance you take us tonight, we will be grateful. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us in the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer. I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at these verses from Hebrews chapter 10, especially verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. But mainly, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I want to speak to you on your time to go to church. Christ loves the church. He died for the church. He's coming for the church. If revival comes, it'll come through the church. It is the church that has promised to put his power on. Now, civic clubs, organizations, of course, sometimes do many good things. But he didn't promise to put his power on any civic club. But he has said to his church, he has said through, our Lord said, I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. But upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever shall be bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now the New Testament, of course, always and always, never does it envision the church without the assembling of God's people. Hebrews 12 reminds us that we have come to Jesus, those of us that are saved, in the grace of God. We've not come to Mount Sinai, to the law, to that place of judgment, but we've come to Mount Zion, to the grace of God, and in the grace of God. And in coming to Mount Zion, we have come to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. I'm a part of that body. Part of the church is in the world. The rest is in heaven. But in reality, the church will never be separated. You and I are part of the church, militant on earth. But the rest of the church are triumphant in heaven. And one day the church will come together in the clouds. Whether separated by death or not, the church is not divided. Sometimes I hear these people say the body is all coming together. It never has been apart. He formed this body in eternity past. It is complete. Ephesians 3:15 says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And the church is always presented as assembling together. Jesus says, Paul says in Ephesians 5 of our Lord, that we're members of his body, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You can't get any closer than that. Paul says in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're saved, Christ lives in you. If you have the hope of heaven, it is because Christ lives in you. Now, Christianity is a life changer. When we come to him, we become a part of his church. One Lord, one baptism, and we're part of this glorious body. It is with the church that God has deposited his truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, in describing the mystery of godliness, reminds us that the church is the pillar, the foundation of the truth. And the truth comes through the church. It's the church's responsibility to preach the word, to teach the word. And we're a part of this glorious assembly. We have a precious book that we base our assurance on. This is our story. This is our song. All the hope that I have in this world is based on the eternal word of God. These things have I written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, sometimes at funerals, sometimes at a funeral, you hear all kind of eulogies and adulations, flattering things said about the deceased. That's the best that a lost world can do. I was at a funeral some years ago, and a Baptist preacher, he said he was a Baptist preacher, conducting that funeral, said of the deceased, I imagine as soon as he gets near heaven, the Lord sends out a John Deere tractor and let him ride into heaven. stupid, stupid, stupid. But we have a book to preach from. We have the eternal word of God. This world has no hope. Brother Clifford, we've never been to a funeral or to the cemetery and read out of Shakespeare. You can rest assured of that. It's always the book, the book, the book that brings comfort. And we have a book that is sure and steadfast. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Knowledge in the doctrine of God is God's self-revelation to us. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, the religious crowd were astonished at his doctrine. His doctrine, that is the doctrine of himself, of the revelation of God, the self-revelation of God. It's not man's ideas. It's not just our thoughts about God. It is the revelation of God himself. And we are to preach the word, doctrine included, because doctrine is the word that reveals the deity of Christ and all the attributes of God. The church is called the pillar and the ground of truth. Just like a dipper delivers the water, that's the responsibility of the church. That's the responsibility of the preacher, to preach the word, to deliver the mail, to lay it at the doorstep, not throw it on top of the house, but lay it at the doorstep. It is through the word that we discover ourselves. It's an amazing thing to me sometimes that martyrs have laid down their lives for truth that we often ignore or neglect. I've been to Smithfield. I've been to Grass Market in England, where many of those dear saints gave their life for the faith, for the propagation of the gospel. I've been to Edinburgh. I've seen the Iron Maiden, the place where many of the saints died as well. Isaiah says that precept upon precept. We are to preach and to teach precept upon precept. Isaiah says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And of course, as we preach, as we serve the Lord, as Christians, we learn and we grow in the Word of God. And even old as I am, 72 years old, I still learn things from this blessed book every day. His mercies are new every morning. He serves fresh manna. Never does he serve warmed over bread. It's always fresh manna. But we learn as we go, precept upon precept, line upon line. I began preaching at the age of 12. The very first sermon I preached was from the book of Matthew about the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Brother Clifford, I didn't have any idea what a virgin was. But I knew 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish, and that's what I preached. And 2 boys in the same school I attended said they were saved. So it works. I want to tell you, but as we go, we just keep on learning, line upon line, precept upon precept. Thank God for His holy word. We have a word from the book. No matter how dark, no matter how terrible the day, we have a book to lead us and guide us. And even during the China plague, thank God, this old book still gives us direction and still leads us in the right way. I remind you that this is a command, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. The word forsake means to abandon, to leave in straits or in a state of helplessness. It is the same word that our Lord used from the cross when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? when people fail to assemble themselves as God has ordained they do, they abandon the church. They leave it in strength. They leave it helpless. I know that there are people because of physical problems and age and sometimes acts of mercy are unable to attend the house of God. But it is the desire of every child of God who is right with God to meet with the Lord's people on the Lord's day. The church has been my meat and my strength through all these years. It was the church that prayed me into the kingdom. It has been the church that has prayed for me. It has been the church that has lifted up my hands and my heart through all these years. And I do not apologize. I belong to a church, a local church. I'm a part of the church, but I'm a part of the local church. I am a Baptist by conviction, but I'm a Christian by conversion. And all that I am is through Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful for the privilege to assemble with the Lord's people. I thank you in all this COVID-19. Many people learned just how much they do love the church. And how much they do appreciate it. And how much they have, what a loss it would be not to be able to assemble together with the Lord's people. But on the other hand, I fear there are a lot of people that have got used to being absent. And they kind of like it. And it gets easier. And easier. I think that's true all across the country. But I'm grateful for the privilege to assemble with the Lord's people. It is a high and it is a holy privilege. Now, of course, in North Carolina, across the line, we have a liberal governor. And that's what I said. If he's listening, my name is Larry Winkler, and he's liberal. And, of course, all the liberal things were placed in effect. I remember one day, I believe it was the last of March when it all started, passing an ABC store. And there was a sign outside that said, "Heroes work here." Brother Larry, I thought my eyes had gone. I turned around and went back. That's what it said. "Heroes work here at the liquor store." What of the man that putteth the bottle to his neighbor's lips? And on the other hand, there was a discouragement to attend the church. And even though did not even want us to sing. So even out in California, they've been in lawsuits, churches, over the fact that they sung together. And when they say we can't sing and we do not have a song to sing or should not sing, my response is this: let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. I am a part of the Lord's people. I am a part of His church. And I have made no apologies as to be identified with the Lord's church. This is a command. It's a great testimony to be faithful. I've been convinced through the years that one of the greatest testimonies that we can ever give is a life of faithfulness. Just walking with God day in and day out. Walking with God when things are good, when things are bad. Walking with God when our heart is filled with song and myrrh. Walking with God when our hearts are aching with sorrow. Just walking with God and trusting Him. But I've served God long enough to discover that even though I'm in a valley, if I'll just walk with Him, after a while He'll let me top a hill. He always does. Thank God for the privilege to be a part of His church. And we are grateful for the privilege to be faithful to the church. A sincere of heart. Let us draw near with a true heart. Worship is absolutely nothing if the heart is not in it. Jesus said, "This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Psalm 51, 7, the sacrifices of God are broken spirits, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Now, when some people talk about their sacrifice and their devotion to the Lord, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a person putting on a deep sea diving outfit to jump in the bathtub to pull the plug in. I think that's about as risky and sacrificial as some of our devotion to the Lord goes. There are those whose faith is a carnal one, no better than the demons themselves. James says, thou believest in God, what you do well, the devils believe and tremble. But God has performed a work in our heart. Paul said to the people of Thessalonica, ye turn from idols to serve the true and the living God and to wait for his Son from heaven. There's a reality of faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. A local church would not exist if every person concealed his faith. There'd be no proclamation of the gospel. There'd be no missionaries. And there'd be no work done in the name of the Lord. A local church cannot exist without spiritual, living, visible people. No more than you can eat invisible chicken and get filled up. The church is visible in this world through the will of God, represented of those that are in heaven. And we are to draw near with our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. And of course, that has to do with the ceremonies associated with the consecration of the Levitical priest. The sprinkling speaks of our redemption through faith in the crucified Savior. And the washing refers to the washing of regeneration. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. Now, if you're lost, if a person is lost, as far as salvation is concerned, that word does not enter in the vocabulary. Works comes after salvation. It is a result of salvation. And if you're not saved, just forget about working to get to heaven. We're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, but through the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross. There is a confession. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And one of the essential reasons for the assembling of the people of God together is for a corporate witness. That's what we did this morning. That's what we're doing here. We've come together corporately. We've come here individually, to make an assembly to testify that we're a part of the church, to testify that there is a God in heaven who rules all the affairs of men, to testify that Jesus saves and that his blood washes whiter than snow. Then the winds, a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And when we come together as an assembly, we're testifying to this, oh, lost, godless, gracious, hell-bound, bent world that Jesus does save, that there is power in the blood. Hold fast. That carries the idea of a warrior carrying a banner into the battle without fear. And I remind you that when a church fails to assemble together, we do fail as being a witness to our blessed Lord. Of course, invisible people don't pay bills. Invisible people don't send out missionaries. Invisible people do not rescue the perishing and care for the dying. It has been the church again that has been my meat and my strength all these years. All these 60 years, even from the age of 12, preaching revivals even then, continually. It's been the church that made it possible to give myself fully to the preaching of the gospel. And even at this age, it's still the church that is my meat and my strength I'm grateful for the church. I love the Lord's people that have made it possible for me to give myself to the preaching of the Word of God. So there's a confession and fearless witnessing. I know that there is a group of people that would like to find a menu to suit them, to find the church that would just meet their fleshly needs. I hadn't even heard of it until a few years ago. Emerging church. Honestly, Brother Clifford, I didn't know there was such an animal. But it is those that believe that a church should be without Christ in reality. Salvation without the Savior. Worship without the Word. Praise without power. And blessings without the blood. It cannot be. All that we are and have through Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's not our responsibility to compromise with a godless age, but to hold fast our profession. For He is faithful, that promise. There's a consideration last of all. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And then He tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The church needs instruction, exhortation, reproof, correction, encouragement. Nothing but doctrine will produce a cold, conceited people. Nothing but exhortation will produce poorly instructed people. And nothing but about rebuke will produce a discouraged people. But Paul says we're to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and the truth shall be turned into fables. And in light of that, what should we do? Preach! 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 Those that are called to preach, those of us that are saved by your life, by your testimony, preach. To consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. That means to provoke in a good way, to encourage one another to good works. Someone has said, to live with the saints above will be glory, but to live with the saints below, well, that's another story. It does take the grace of God. And we're to encourage one another with our prayers and our love. I tell you tonight, if I were away from God, cold and backslidden in heart, I'd sure want the people of God to pray for me. I'd want you to call my name to the Lord. And that's what we're to do. Provoke unto good works. Encourage one another. You need the church, and the church needs you. And then we're to consider one another conscientious care. We're to challenge one another so much more as you see the day approaching. I do believe that our Lord is coming at any moment, any time. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by gathering together unto Him. That refers to the gathering of the church. There will be a glad meeting in the air. As I said, part of the church is in heaven. The rest of the church is in heaven. And I think maybe sometimes those saints in heaven might get as homesick to come back as we do to go. Because they know, I think they know. I don't know all they're doing in heaven. I do know they're worshiping, serving God. But one day the Lord is going to say, let's go. Get the bride. And all those that have died in the Lord are coming with Him. And those of us that remain on earth shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And I imagine that those in heaven are as anxious to come back and get us as we are to go. But we're going to meet in the air, not in this world. My wife and I finally bought us a grave plot the other day. And my wife said to me, "Now don't make any jokes." But the first thing she said to the lady, she had a shovel, was, "Are you going to dig it today?" Well, I was looking at all those graves. And I know many of those people buried there. My pastor's buried there. And I thought it'd be wonderful to be here when Jesus comes. But if my body's in the grave or if I'm alive, well, really it won't matter. It don't matter if you're standing in my mother's grave or not. You're not going to meet in a graveyard. You're going to meet in the air. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The voice of Christ shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I've got a rendezvous with the church, and it's beyond the clouds. Thank God I have read the last chapter, and there is victory, victory through Jesus Christ. Forsake it not, the assembly of your yells together, as a man of some is, waiting, waiting for his blessed return. Yeah.